Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon. Here we all are. Hey, it's good to have you. If you are someone who celebrated Memorial Day, I hope you had a good holiday. I hope you had time off, time to relax and gear up for what promises to be a pretty groovy summer. Oh, yeah. Man, it was one of the weirdest Memorial Days that my son and I ever had. We sold furniture, then took ourselves out to eat because our family, essentially, T's dad is down in Florida now, so we have to wait until we spend next year, God willing, with him on Memorial Day, and don't miss out on too many more holidays because it was just a little strange. But you know what? Not really bad strange. It was just different, that's all. And now we have no dining room table, but that's okay. We'll rectify that shortly. I digress. Michael Linkton is here with us today, next hour, as a matter of fact. We're not only going to talk about the new album, Soul Appeal, but also about his cigars. He's got a very successful cigar company, you know. Yes. A lot of great music. And you know what? We're going to get to it just now. Since we have no guest in the first hour, Michael's the sole guest for Hybrid Jazz. We're going to get into a classic, Curtis Fuller from 1959, and Bluesette on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hyper Jazz.
But there is nothing to be.
Well, raise your hand if you love you some Cuba Gooding. Woo! Man, what better song to play, especially if you're experiencing sunshine, if you're feeling the vibe of the show at all. That just takes it to another level every single time. God bless Brian Auger for writing that song. Happiness is just around the bend from the main ingredient, Euphrates River, from the early 70s. Beej and I are just talking about this in the chat room. She's feeling good, and I think that she feels a little bit better because of the song. I was already feeling pretty good, although moving around furniture to make sure it got sold yesterday took a toll on your sister child's body here. But the sun is shining. It's going to hit 90 today. The air conditioning is on. T is at work. He's going to get sent to Florida next week. We got the ticket taken care of. All is well. Man, it was a good weekend. Hopefully that was the same case with you. And wherever you're listening, at whatever time of day you're listening, I hope that you continue to feel as though this summer is going to be a pivotal, changing summer for you in all the best ways. Keep that thought in your head. Happiness is just around the bend. Now, look, I got to tell you that Cuba Gooding Sr. is putting together a show or two in the Daytona Beach, Florida area. He lives in Flagler Beach, so he might be a real good contact in Florida. He's putting together these soul shows that are just great to see. If you can get to his Facebook page or go to his website, he's really putting things together, and he looks fabulous. So my hat is off to him. Always has been. Andrew New was the second song we heard, Poolside, from Everything Happens for a Reason, his latest, getting great reviews still. Andrew is going to be with Bobby Caldwell for several dates. If you go to his website, you can see that. But we wanted to focus on June the 8th. Andrew is flying in from the Steel City Jazz Festival in Birmingham, Alabama. And he's going to be doing a gig with our very own David Bach. The two of them together are going to be amazing. All of the details about the show are my timeline photo at Facebook. The big deal will be at Charles Village Pub in Towson, Maryland. It's going to be for the benefit of the Towson High School Music Department. So you know some of us are all over that. If you need to get an email address about where you can get tickets, or if you just want to go to the Facebook page and see that this is going to be another CD release party for David Bach, please do that, and I'll answer any questions for you. I'm going to be hosting that particular segment. It will be an all-day affair in a beautiful part of the Baltimore suburban area. So it feels really good to be walking around the Towson vicinity because there's Towson University there, and there's cool shops, different kinds of restaurants. The Towson Mall is across the street. It's just a beautiful place, and I know the weather will be great. Right, God? Right? We also heard from Curtis Fuller and Bluesette from 1959. Oh, my gosh. Curtis Fuller on trombone, Benny Golson on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Jimmy Garrison on bass, Al Harewood on drums. Choice stuff. Curtis Fuller is still with us. He'll be 80 in December. Now, you can imagine the kind of history he has seen, and he's got a particular personal history. His mom and dad left early, not left, but they passed away. So he was raised in an orphanage. And in the Detroit school system, he became friends with Donald Byrd and knew Thad Jones and Milt Jackson. Later on, when he was in the Army, he was with another schoolboy chum, Paul Chambers, and played with the Adderley Brothers. Then he got a chance to play with Yusef Lateef, who said, come on to New York, we'll take care of you. And he did. And he carved himself a career. Oh, my. Just amazing. Trombonist, composer, educator who spends time now at the New York State Summer School of Arts. So he's a big believer in music education, too. Love to hear that. Curtis Fuller, title track of Bluesette. Also, if you dip back into John Coltrane's Blue Train LP, there's Curtis Fuller, too. That's a living legend in our midst. We always want you to take note of that. We've got more music to come. Don't forget Michael Linkton next hour. What a joy to be able to talk to somebody I've known about for a long time. And I have to say thank you to Tom Esty for making sure that we got together. Tom's been putting these different kinds of acts for our perusal. And Michael Linkton, of course, was the shining jewel of all those artists that I've seen, because he's done so much with his life since coming to Denmark, from Denmark and even beyond when he was there. He's got a wonderful history, and we'll learn all about it and dip into some tracks from his new CD too. From the Philippines, a superstar there who has a group called Affinity. This is Johnny Allegri from Jazz Hound and East Indies on Hybrid Jazz from Church Hennessy. Phew. We'll be right back. Hyper Jazz.
Thank you. This was just a little samba built upon a single note. Other notes are bouncing follow, but the root is still that note. Not a single note is the consequence of the notes we've just been through. I've been bound to be the unavoidable consequence of you. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say nothing, or nearly nothing. I have used up all the skills I know I'm in the end. I've come to nothing, or nearly nothing. Come back to my first note as I must come back to you. I will pour into that one note all the love I feel for you. Anyone who wants the whole show, Remy Fasolatito, he will find himself with no show. Better play the notes you know.
One Note Samba from the Jazz Samba Project. That's from 2012. Now, you remember that Lynn and Ken Avis, her wonderful husband and collaborator in all that is fabulous music, were with me on Hybrid Jazz right before Jazz Samba Project got to have new life breathed into it. They went back to the old stomping grounds of the original jazz samba back in the 60s. And let me tell you what kind of ripples this has caused. Now, they might not take credit for this because they're far too humble, but there's a lot in the wind as far as reappreciating the Brazil sound that just captivated us in the late 50s, early 60s here in the States. This is what's going to be happening at the Strathmore, one of those glorious venues. It's an art center, actually, in Bethesda, Maryland. Have been there once to see Olympia Dukakis do a one-woman show. And I was over the moon seeing her because nobody can ever do what she does. How can you possibly do a one-woman show with all acting, it's just you, and props, and make it seem as if it was 15 or 20 minutes? Is that a gift or what? Mind-blowing. The Strathmore is just gorgeous, and they're going to have a jazz samba festival. Yes, that's going to be happening this week. Our good friend Ron Kearns is going to be there doing his Brazilian interpretation on the saxophone. And then there is going to be a very interesting symposium, if you will. Ken Avis is going to be talking about the very fact that Brazil music took off in this country. And here he is, this little smart alecky Brit, going to be talking about this. It's wild. He will also be part and parcel of some sort of film that will be shown all that week. And Verano gets to play from start to finish their Jazz Samba project. This is right at the weekend where Sergio Mendes and Eliana Elias are also going to be in performance. A very exciting several days at the Strathmore, and that's strathmore.org with more information. Oh, I'm so proud of Erno. That's great. EC3, we heard, that was the middle song, Ojos de Rojo, Red Eyes. Yes, from It's All About the Rhythm. EC3 and friends, including Irene Yelanti, are going to be at Blues Alley tomorrow. BluesAlley.com has more information. Also, Vernie Varela from Colombia, the country. The country, yes, not Columbia, Maryland, in case any of you locals are listening. He's going to be with EC3. It will be a blast as usual. Past couple of times that our friend EC played Blues Alley, the joint got sold out. So why should this be any different tomorrow night? Johnny Allegri and Affinity, East Indies, originally self-titled that CD, but it was re-released in the UK as Jazz Hound. Johnny Allegri's birthday is coming up on June the 4th. He is considered this award-winning guitarist, composer, and producer from the Philippines. He is considered to be one of the best in the world. Matter of fact, if you look up a book called The Great Jazz Guitarists, Scott Yano, who usually writes for allmusic.com, he published this book last year. Johnny Allegri is in that list. What you heard was from 2005, but there's plenty of other more recent work. He's an amazing, when you get to hear what he does with that guitar, it's like Mike Pope, who you're going to hear in a little bit, by the way, who was just visiting us on Hyper Jazz this past Thursday. You can't believe what some people, artists, who are supposed to be doing this, what they do with their fingers as far as that instrument is concerned. It's just astounding to me. I love it. And this is what I do. I get to talk about all the people who are fabulous. Another one of those, Reagan Whiteside, who's got a new CD coming out in July. Meanwhile, we're going to go back to 2007. This is called In Love from Class Acts. Michael Linkton comes our way in less than 20 minutes right here on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Hybrid Jazz. Choir. forgive me for laughing because there's a couple of things going on. You're going to hear the coffee machine going in the background because I had to get up and do something while that song was playing. It was driving me crazy. And then Beach in the chat room says, church on Tuesday morning in Ventura County. Seriously, that is, isn't it though? Let me tell you something. When I knew that Michael Linkton was going to be on the show, I had already discovered this fabulous Soul Appeal CD. So I knew what I was in for, but I'm listening to each of the tracks, and then I happened to see that Ryan Shaw was adding the vocals to a song. So I thought, all right, now let me get to that Ryan Shaw track, because I met this young man some years ago when WSMJ was kicking, and when he walked into the studio, my program director and I just looked at each other and went, oh, Lord have mercy. This youngin is going to be doing some serious business in the business. Now, when Ryan Shaw got together with Michael Linkton, we're done. We're done, because that is one smoking song. Leave Me You is what it's called, from Soul Appeal. So now you understand what you're up against when you hear the CD. On the line with me is the gentleman in question, looking forward, as I have for such a long time, in trying to talk to this man whose music I have been following for quite some time. We played the heck out of him on WSMJ, revered all over the world, most especially in his native Denmark. But even beyond that, one of those names, when you say Michael Linkton, people go, now that's what I'm talking about. With the coffee machine in the background just finishing up its job and getting on the phone with Michael Linkton, I want to say hello to one of the superstars in contemporary jazz. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, and what an intro. That is very, very impressive. Yeah, impressive, yes.
Listen, I am so impressed by Soul Appeal. First of all, congratulations on the success, because you are grinning. I know this is really something for you, isn't it?
It really is, actually. I think that we took such a risk with making this album, because this. I have never done a record like this, from the writing of the songs to the way we recorded it and the kind of stylistically what we did with it. And we just kind of went for it with no holding back. And the fact that it's been received so well is just mind-blowing and so exciting for me. I can't tell you. So I thank you for all the support and really radio all over the world has just taken this record in. And I couldn't be more happy.
Well, Michael, I have to tell you this. Being of a certain age, I am, and having lived through the great music that we heard, actually, even in the late 50s, early 60s, and then into the 70s, and what Memphis was able to mean to us in the way of giving us honest and authentic music. When I was listening to Soul Appeal, you know, the highest compliment I can possibly give you is that you threw me back a couple of decades. That's awesome.
No, and that, you know what, I'm so happy you say that, because that is honestly what I wanted to do with this record. You know, there was something very special about the music in the 60s, because it was designed to make people feel good. And they weren't even trying to design it. They just made it feel good. And it made people feel good. And it made people were happy. When you listen to music, it made you feel something. It made you happy. And that's what I wanted to do. I thought as time has gone by, you know, it becomes more produced, it becomes more calculated, it becomes more predictable. It may become more perfect. I don't know. But So this, the whole barometer for my record was, does it feel good, you know, and it was not about perfection. And it's not a perfect record, but then again, as my producer said, perfect to who, which is a great point.
Exactly.
You know, it's like what I may feel is perfect, somebody else may not. So it doesn't even matter. But I, you know, growing up in Copenhagen, I can't tell you why exactly, but I was so influenced and inspired by American rhythm and blues music, soul music, especially from that time period. You know, I'm talking about Junior Walker. I'm talking about King Curtis. I'm talking about Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson, right? And Wilson Pickett. And that was music that spoke to me and to my soul, ultimately probably why I came to America. All of those things are kind of mysteries. But coming around to making this record, I just thought, you know, this is my eighth album, right? What kind of music, what kind of album can I make that really will speak to me and make me become a different type of musician and player and songwriter? And I said, why don't I get back to my musical roots, what inspired me? Because if it inspired me, I feel it will inspire others, you know? And that's the whole thing. It took us a year and a half to write this record because I'm venturing into it. We wrote over 40 songs, and I'm venturing into a territory that I haven't done before by writing something very specific to almost a decade, right, to the 60s and maybe the 70s. And so we had to write a lot of songs in order to sort of narrow it down to what it became. And then going into the studio and doing it like they did in Memphis or Motown, we all were in the studio at the same time, including myself, including Kitty Lattimore came down and sang, and, you know, and Ryan Shaw. We went in there and we all did it at the same time because we wanted to inspire it. We wanted to inspire each other during the recording process. And the one thing that people tell me about listening to this record is that they feel they're sitting inside this recording studio. They feel like they're sitting at the session listening to this record, which is to me is an amazing compliment because if I can communicate what we were feeling at the time, but in a recorded format, I think that is so cool.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, gosh, this is going to sound really heavy, and I hadn't thought about it until I talked to you within these past few minutes. It just occurs to me that you have a particular sensitivity to something, and it may not have occurred to you either, but I'm just going to throw it out here. You know, during that time, we were all going through such changes in the United States when that music came to be. And I think, Michael, that part of that joy that you experienced in listening to the music was because the civil rights that had been denied for so long to African Americans was finally coming home. And people just felt it, and they wanted to explode with that kind of absolute hope and a feeling of euphoria, and it came through in particular in Memphis. And I think that during that transition period when everybody may have felt a little despondent and then they got hope and then there was a cause for hope and then there really was this place in the future that felt denied to so many people, you caught it. You caught that vibe and you were able to translate all of that into soul appeal. And for a little guy who was in Denmark dreaming about this, you know, so many years ago, that's a big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I don't think at the time, obviously, I was aware of the struggles in America, especially in the South, right?
Sure.
But again, music has a way of it's like you can play music all over the world. You don't need to speak the language, right?
It either speaks to you,
communicates to you, and you can't really explain why it is. But I was connecting so much with that particular music, especially out of Memphis. Just soul and rhythm and blues. I felt it, you know. And again, as a young boy, you could ask me the question, why are you so attracted to this kind of music? I couldn't tell you. It was too
right.
I had options. I mean, I played classical clarinet prior to me picking up the saxophone, and it didn't speak to me the same way. I mean, I also, became a teenager, and different things in life happened, you know. But I don't know. It was just, I just loved it, and I had such a strong connection to it. And that's why I think I was really actually terrified to go in the studio and record this entire album with everybody, because How can you do an entire record and supposedly be perfect the first time around? Do you know what I mean? I'm used to letting everybody record, do multiple takes, and then I'll go home in my studio and record my thing on top of it. But I can only tell you that I was so inspired what's happened in there, and I was able to just let go and be in the moment and experience what everybody experienced. And trust me, I didn't want to be that guy that was lacking behind. So I was on top, as much on top of my game as I possibly could. The funny thing, the band said the same thing. Every musician, like in secret, said, I didn't want to be the guy that wasn't, you know, that wasn't right there up on the front. So I think we just kept on escalating our own thing. But it was quite terrifying to go in there knowing that what you do right now is what's going to go on the record. And that's it, you know. And but it was so liberating after. It was so much fun. And I think you can tell in the process of the when you hear the record how organic and raw it really is. You know, it's as I said,
yeah. Listen, one of the reasons I like it is because, I hope you understand this, and please take it in the best way because I mean it in the best way possible. It sounds dirty. It's got this dirt and grit on it, and it just sounds like it just sounded like you better take it the way it's being played right now, because we are going to be honest about this, and there aren't going to be any retakes.
No,
that's
why
I like it.
You're absolutely right, and you know it's so interesting because even after we recorded it, we all realized, you know, this is special. Let's not screw it up and start adding
stuff. That's right.
And start. So I mean, you know, we did, after the fact, add the horn sections, and we added percussion. And we were so careful where we added stuff and what we did. We actually added more stuff and then took it away because we just wanted to keep it as intact, you know, as we had done it during that tracking session.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you had some unbelievable artists who partnered with you on this. Please, you know what? Boast on them. Boast on the producer and the engineer. I want to hear it all.
Okay. Well, I mean, this was because it was such a specific project, right? I almost looked at the musicians as casting for a movie. My producer Barry Eastman, who has produced some unbelievable records. He's done almost all the Anita Baker records and got Billy Ocean. I mean, it goes on. I mean, he has done hundreds and hundreds of records. And so I knew I was in very good hands with him. And when we talked about the musicians and the whole team, we literally, like, for each, you know, the drummer, we had like three names we were thinking. So who would be great with this guy? Who would be that? And we just narrowed it down, and I think who we came up with had such a great synergy that I think if I could do it all over again, I would pick the exact same musicians and engineer. Now, before I get to musicians, I'll tell you, the engineer for me was a really big deal because I knew the kind of record we were doing. It was not something you say, okay, we'll fix it in the mix kind of thing. It's something that needed to be recorded properly right away. You know what I mean? Nothing needed to be fixed. It needed to be correct from the beginning. And the engineer, Ray Badami, is somebody I have wanted to work with ever since I actually heard my first David Sanborn record. And I'm talking about early 80s. He recorded and mixed David Sanborn from the mid-70s all the way to the end of the 90s. And some of the albums I was really, really influenced by was, you know, Hideaway, Voyeur, and Straight to the Heart, and those records he did. And what I really liked, check this out, what I really liked about what he did was he treated the saxophone like the lead vocal. Do you see? So it wasn't just like an instrumental mix or with a – he literally, the way he treated it, the way he recorded it, the way he mixed it, it was like a voice. And everybody was sort of surrounded, you know, supporting – featured, but really carved out a place in the record for the lead instrument. And I knew I wanted to work with him for years, and this was the project. He had worked with Barry Eastman on other things. He had worked with my manager on some other projects. I'm like, can we get Ray? And they said, yeah, let's get him. He also, by the way, did all of Luther Vandross records, which pretty good hits on the records. But for me, it was the way he treated the saxophone for David Sanborn that just was so cool to me. Musicians, we have Teddy Campbell on drums. Teddy is been an American. He's the drummer for American Idol, and of course the Tonight Show, and then now back to American Idol. Bass player Freddie Washington Jr. I'm sorry, no, just Freddie Washington. We have a couple of juniors on the guitars, but Freddie Washington.
Yes, you do.
And there was, I know. There's too many juniors and seniors. But Freddie Washington, who's lately been out on tour with Steely Dan, but he's a L.A. session legend and just a really great bass player. And then we got Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar and Ray Parker Jr. on guitar. And
oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. And then Barry Eastman on Fender Rhodes and Wurlitzer and grand piano. And then we have a gentleman named Shedrick Mitchell on B3 Hammond organ, who was out touring with Maxwell. And then we got Lenny Castro on percussion. So it's a pretty good lineup there. Yeah, pretty good lineup.
Yes, it's just, this was the perfect album to listen to over the Memorial Day weekend. Absolutely perfect album, because it just put you in the frame of mind where all of your best memories took place a long time ago. And here it is, current, 2014. So you get to turn on a whole bunch of new people onto the sound. And I played it for somebody over the weekend. It was Friday. And my friend, who's a guy who's in his 40s, said, "Hey, wow, I think I know who that cat is. Didn't he play with so-and-so back in 1972? I said, "Well, you might want to take a look to see who this is that's playing." And he went,
right.
"Oh, my God." He said, "They duplicated this sound, but yet," he said, it pops so that it sounds fresh for this day and age. And that's the best thing that anybody could say to you.
That is exactly what the first people were describing when they first heard it. They said it's raw, organic, it's fresh and familiar, but it's we took the old school but made it new, right? And I think that has to do with the fact that we wrote all the songs, because if we had just did songs from back then, it would have been a cover record and it wouldn't have had the fresh thing. It would have been sort of retro. So I mean, that was the thing that I'm happy about, that we were able to really stay in tune with what we were trying to do as far as the 60s and the 70s, but make it our own. So, and I think we did that, which is really, really exciting.
Well, and here's what you did. We played the Ryan Shaw track, and you heard me mention a little bit about having met Ryan Shaw and seeing the full power of what he is able to do. You gave a gift to Ryan and to Kenny Lattimore, because these two men sound as if they are singing from the depths of their being. You gave them a license to be free as far as singing this kind of song. They should be singing these kinds of songs all the time. And it was you who made this possible. So if you don't mind, can we play the Kenny Lattimore track now?
Of course.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is just so wonderful. Michael Langton is able to transcribe notes from history and then bring in the Michael Langton vibe along with that. You have done it on this CD. I'm telling you what, this is called Gonna Love You Tonight. Soul Appeal is the name of the CD on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Promise that you'll stay, and baby, tonight's for you. I'll do anything you want me to. If you tell me to, I'll run a mile just to see you smile. 'Cause ooh, when you smile. Is a little bit forward, but tonight I'll be the coach. You can be a player if you follow the game. I'll take you to a field of ecstasy. Baby, tonight's for you. I'll do anything you want me to. If you tell me to, I'll run a mile.
Gracious, that song is so well produced. It's like riding the crest of a wave at every turn. Michael, that sax comes in, Kenny picks up the pace, you're surfing to the next level, and you got that big wave at the end. It's just beautiful. I love it. Love it.
Oh, thank you. You know, that's the one thing I wanted to do with this particular song is really make it a saxophone vocal duet, not just play a solo, but intertwine
yes.
the whole song through, like they used to do with Grover Washington and Bill Weathers, and of course Junior Walk and the All Stars. Right? It was all about it coming in and coming out, and going into harmony, and really making it a true duet. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and Kenny sounds so great on that track too. Oh.
You know what? And then you just reminded me, yeah, this is 2014's version of What Does It Take to Win Your Love? Woo!
That's right. You got it.
Oh, man. I just got a chill. It just is. And here's a question now, and it wouldn't necessarily have been posed until you came on the show with me and said what you said about the some sort of fear about doing this album. Was the desire to do something like this with you for a long time? Did you push it to the back burner? What was it about this time and place where you thought, let's go for it?
You know, this is a very, very great question, actually. Yes, I always felt the urge to sort of push the boundaries a bit in my own way. I may or may not have done that on my previous albums, but, you know, what happens is that, you know, during the recording process, all of a sudden you start reeling things in because you want it to fit into whatever you think the box is and don't want to be sticking out too far, don't want to take too big of a risk. And on this album, where everybody went right, I went left. Not everybody in the project, but just like in the general business, right? So the fear of doing this album was just the fact that there was nothing to compare it to, not in my own catalog or in really any record there's out there in contemporary jazz, right? And so you're on uncharted territory, and you have no idea what's happening here. The only thing that kept me wanting to pursue this and go as far outside the box as I could was the fact that it felt good to me. So I knew I couldn't be wrong. You know what I mean? It's like whatever radio could play it or not, they might have said, well, you know, we like the record, but it doesn't fit with our format and this and that. I had no idea what was going to happen. And that's why when it's been – I mean, we've been number one for 12 weeks on contemporary jazz radio with the first instrumental single, Soul Appeal. That has never happened in my – yeah, I know. That, I mean, it's unbelievable. I've never happened in my career before. And I was, you know, prepared for them to say, well, you know, it just doesn't fit the format. But I think the rest of the world feeling what I was feeling is that music has lost a bit of the soul, not a bit, actually a lot of its soul, like it had. It's been sterilized and it's been sort of formatted into something that is not really moving people. It's not really shaking anybody up. It's just kind of, the best way to describe it is like musical wallpaper, right? And
wow.
I wanted to do something that rattled the cage. I wanted to do something that was completely different and was not expected. And, you know, and that's – I did it with this album that we never reeled it back. If anything, we took it further than we even had anticipated. And I was just personally ready for a change, for something that just – and I think you could hear in my playing, if you know my music from before – I think you can hear that my performance, my playing is at a different level. And the only, you know, it's not like I all suddenly got more knowledge it's not that. It's just that I was so inspired by the music, by the musicians, by the process, by the songs, by the kind of music we were doing. It's like I felt I'm back home, you know, I'm back home where I belong in soul and R&B music. And that's, I think, why my playing got elevated to a level that I maybe haven't been able to do prior on recordings.
Well, as the French say, the album is full of joie de vivre. You had joy of living in each of these performances. It's as if you were given a saxophone for a gift, and you knew how to play immediately, and you felt everything, every nook and cranny of this. And, you know, for folks who don't necessarily know your history, this has been coming for a long time, this particular project, where you really get to shine, and you feel so empowered with that instrument. You,
right.
For a long time, I mean, you've spent time with Michael Bolton and Barry Manilow and Randy Crawford, and honestly, these are people who all took chances, Michael. I'm very
right.
aware of those folks. So whatever bug it was for you to climb into your ear and say, you got to do this and you got to do it now, And look what you've done. You've not only inspired yourself, but I saw the story of Steve Perry coming to visit Barry and saying that he felt inspired by the sessions.
Yeah, I mean, it was that was an interesting experience. I mean, unexpected and wonderful. Out of this project, I've become really, really great friends with. Talk about a blue-eyed soul brother. Oh my God, this guy.
Oh my God.
Turns out, I'll tell you. So Steve Perry came down. I thought he was going to stay for half an hour. Steve Perry, of course, lead singer of Journey, who is one of the top five greatest living singers. I mean, in my book, I don't know, but just
yes.
An incredible, incredible singer and talent. Came down and hung out. Thought I was going to stay for half an hour. Kept us staying for the whole first day. Came in the next day, stayed for another, the whole day, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever.
And
I'm telling you. Came back for the third day. Actually showed up before everybody on the third day. He showed up before everybody was there. And he was talking, I mean, it was the greatest thing. During the lunch breaks, we're talking about, of course, Sam Cooke, who he loved Sam Cooke, was his biggest idol. And he would sing Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye to us during our lunch break. And he was just delightful. And you know, we later on just, you know, became really good friends. And finally, at one point, I texted him. I said, Steve, you know, I got to tell you, having you at the sessions from the beginning to the end really inspired all of us just to have your spirit and your soul there. And I want to really thank you for coming and being such a part of this project. And he says, you really don't have to thank me. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to thank you. You gave me back my emotional compass.
Oh!
I mean,
whoa.
I was like, whoa, you know? I mean, it was really powerful, really powerful.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. And
I know.
Look, Michael, you might not know this. My son, who's 22, pointed this out to me. He was very excited. It was Sunday. And he said, did you see the video of Steve Perry showing up with the eels in Minnesota? I said, what? He said, you have to see the video. And now that I know the story about what inspired him to keep on coming to these sessions, Steve Perry came to perform in Minnesota completely unexpected. He showed up. He sang his heart and soul out. It's as if he's completely healed from all the grief that had transpired and all the stuff that he went through. He sounds like a new man, Michael. He does.
Yeah. No, he's a special man. I'll tell you that right now. That was one unexpected turn, you know, but it was great to have him. He's an amazing man for sure.
Man, I'm so tickled for you, and I can't even imagine what the rest of this year is going to have in store for you. I know that you're going to be at Brian Culbertson's big Napa Valley Jazz Festival with a lot of cooking people, including Mavis Staples. I'm a little excited about you meeting Mavis Staples.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great get-together for both artists and fans of music, and it's going to be great. I was there last year, and it's a wonderful, wonderful event. Happens beginning of June, June 11th, actually. Starts on my birthday, June 11th.
Yes, you're going to be – this is a pivotal birthday because you are at the perfect precipice of looking back on the glory of your successes so far, and now you've got the smokinest album out there. And who knows what is going to transpire around the next corner. Isn't that cool?
Right. No, absolutely. You're right. You're right. So excited about that. I've got, I've got a few other performances in June as well. And, you know, we're just going to be out all year basically promoting this record. Kenny Lattimore and myself are doing shows together. We already started.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we have a great sort of synergy on stage, and just have, we just like each other. So of course we're going to like each other's you know, music. But you know, do you know about the wine, my wine, the wine company I started? So
I know about that. I know about your cigars, and I used to be a
right.
cigar aficionado, so I am very interested.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was actually the wine thing came from because of me doing the cigars since 2006. But yeah, so a couple of years ago, I got a call from a great winery up in Paso Robles, California, and they wanted to because they've seen like the cigars and the music and sort of the whole branding lifestyle aspect. They were like, you know, we'd really love you to work with you on a joint venture for us. Signature line of wines. So long story short, been up there many meetings and been working on it, and it just came out in December, and really excited about it. I mean, this
wow.
is something something I never expected that would ever happen, obviously, you know, but this has been really fun, you know. These things are so fun when you just create something and then it just kind of takes off and takes on its own thing. So it's been wonderful.
Well, you know, you're such – I've thought this for a long time, and, you know, one doesn't want to go through life being superficial and thinking superficial thoughts, and I don't. I'm a pretty spiritually inclined person, but I also know why there are some people that gravitate to success and why success gravitates to them. You're wonderful PR. You've got such a good heart, you've got a business mind, and you're photogenic. You just can't get away from that. You just photograph really well, and for a particular kind of company that you have an association with, whether it be your cigars, and I went to the website, and that's looking really good. It's tempting me to get back to smoking them. I did that at Temple University, and it was really wonderful, and I know that you are gearing to the cigar fan who likes the everyday cigars, but you also are tempting those who are a bit snobby in their tastes as well, because they're not the usual cigars. So you just have this natural affinity to have success come to you, and that's why I'm so pleased with this album, because the album redefines who Michael Langton is. I'm really happy about that.
Oh, thank you. Very, very, very sweet of you. I mean, you know, I just, that's a great way of putting it, but, you know, the reality, I just go through every day just thinking about just doing what I want to do, you know, just I don't think about the always the big picture. I just think about, I want to create, right? I want to stimulate. I want to come up with new ideas and make something out of nothing. And I just do what I do, you know, that's the thing about it.
That's so cool, because you, in doing that and wanting to create, these groovalicious things just keep happening to you, and I'm tickled, because there are those of us who have looked from afar at you for a while, and I think that this particular time in your life, and now you're approaching June the 11th, your birthday, you're going to get the biggest gift, because there's going to be opportunities that come to you that you wouldn't have thought, just like you said, with the wine opportunity and the cigars, and now this album. Surprises will be coming fast and furiously. Don't you think that?
Mm.
I do.
Well, they have been, so it's like I'm ready to expect the unexpected, because I'll tell you one thing. You know, I came to America and had no idea that I was going to make records, right? I just wanted to
right.
come here to be a musician and sort of live here and go on tour or whatever. And you know, all suddenly I get a recording contract, and I was just going, oh, okay, so I guess now I'm making records. You know, I mean, it's the cigar thing. I mean, I didn't smoke a cigar until I came here also. I mean, who would have ever thought I would be involved in the cigar company? And then with wine. And it's like, I'm going, what's next? You know? So I just, you know, that's a part of the beauty, though. So it's get up every day and you're going, I have no idea what's going to happen today. Nothing
wonderful.
Nothing may happen. Like I might get a call, and it's like, well, that's I didn't see that coming. So you know, that's what's exciting about my life and many people in my industry. So you just don't know what the next day holds. You just don't.
Yeah, but. Yeah. The writing was on the wall for you, Michael. You are the grandson of Otto Linkton, and that means something. That's in your lineage. So you had to do something great because you come from greatness. So there.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely. People ask who's your mentor, who is your biggest inspiration, and there's no doubt that my grandfather. He was. I mean, you know, he passed away many years ago. But
yeah.
Him and I spent so much time together as when I was growing up. And you know, I'll tell you a really fun story. I remember this, even though I must have been 6 years old, maybe 7 years old. But I remember sitting at his house and we were talking about music. I was very sort of in awe of what he had done in his life and career, and I remember sitting at his house, and the Mills Brothers called him from America. Can you imagine a 5-year-old boy, and he's on the phone with Harry, and then you get on, and they're talking about, you know, what's going on, because you know he used to play with all American and a lot of American R&B artists, if you could call it. I guess really the right word back then was black artist, you know, and I don't know if they've been formulated that to R&B, but so you're talking about the Mills Brothers, right? You're talking about Fats Waller. You're talking about Josephine Baker. My grandfather and Josephine Baker became literally best friends, and they played together all over Europe, toured together all over Europe for many years, for probably over 20 years, did recordings together. There's recordings with him and the Mills Brothers, and I mean, so you know, sometimes when I say where did this, you know, young Danish kid get so involved in black music, and I'm talking about me, and it's like probably through the exposure through my grandfather, probably.
Yes.
If I had to, you know, it must have been right. So,
yes.
Yeah. So those were amazing things that happened to me early on, and I might not have been able to sort of realize how big of an effect it had on me. But it was just talking to him about the business and being around that environment. And there was always people showing up at his house, and I remember, like, magicians and jugglers, and, you know, they were always goofing around and having a great time, and I just loved that whole thing. So he definitely was my biggest inspiration and mentor, no doubt.
That is so beautiful, and now you begin to see in telling this tale about those very first inspirations. See, I'm getting the feeling from you that you are coming into full fruition as an artist, whereas you had been feeling possibly that you were doing the music that was expected of you. Now you're doing the music that you were meant to do. So with that, everything changes. And
yeah.
I just, whenever that happens to anybody that I've admired for a while, I always get the chills because this means a different ball game from what you have experienced heretofore. Now the Michael Linkton that we knew is going to be even more of a household name in different pockets all over the world because people are gravitating to what you're feeling on this CD. You know
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I'm happy you say that. I mean, because I just do what I do and what I feel at the time. It's not all calculated and written out and scripted. If anything, this record was the exact opposite. And I do feel that by the process and by the what we did with this record, I really was able to communicate my voice, my true voice. And I don't want to say it in a way where my other records were not my true voice, because that's what that's how I was responding to that particular music or recording at that time. But I do feel there was a different thing that happened on this record. And you know, listening back to some of the songs, like my parts, like what I would play, I say to myself, you know, I would never play that. It almost at times doesn't sound like me. I know it does, but it doesn't, because I said I would have never gone into a solo that way. I would have never approached it that way. But it was literally an in-the-moment thing. And it, no time to think, because music goes by so quick. So you have no time to think. So you act on pure instinct, emotions, and feelings. And communication with the other musicians in the room. It just happens. There's no time to be calculated or think about what you're doing. You're playing on pure emotions and pure feelings, you know?
And that is why I saved this track for last. And I know that you're just burgeoning with different things that you've got to do, and I'll let you go. But I saved Going Home until last because I felt it, Michael. I did. I felt you playing like you had never played.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that the song Going Home, you know, it's one of those songs that I'm really happy that I wrote this song, and I'm really happy it came out the way it did, because that is a perfect example of the songs I would be listening to growing up, especially from David Sanborn and all those great instrumental artists, saxophonists back in the day. And this is, I always wanted to have a song like that, you know what I mean? Because I grew up listening to it. So I'm excited that we were able to, you know, to write a song like that for the album.
Well, you make sure you tell David Sanborn how much you have admired him, because he takes those things to heart very seriously. He will love that and cherish that you've thought so much of him, that you really loved his engineer for all those years, and you made it a point to seek him out and know the inner workings of why David Sanborn has had so much success. And you have your amazing following, and now I can imagine that it's only going to grow from here. I appreciate the time that you took today, Michael. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Sure. And by the way, I've told David many times. He's probably sick and tired of me telling him. So no worries on that. We talk about another expected thing, you know. So him and I have become really great friends, and he's just a really soulful man, both as a person and as a musician, obviously. And I'm proud to be calling him my friend, that's for sure. But he's influenced a lot of sax players, but for me it was we all have our favorites, and he was definitely the one that initially really, really spoke to me, so for sure.
I would imagine that would be the case. I'll get to see him in the next couple of months or so, and I'll tell him about this conversation that we had on the show, and he'll be tickled.
All right. Well, I warned you. I'm just going to say, I know. So.
I don't think he will. I think that every musician likes to be told over and over again how much they're admired. So when it comes from a different mouth, maybe it will be a different case.
Okay. All right. Well, you can try it. Then let me know how that works out.
I will, Michael, and continued success to you. I'll keep my finger on the trigger of what's going on with you in the days to come. I know it's all going to be spectacular. And have a wonderful birthday, please.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your time and for allowing me to be on your show. It's been fun and an absolute pleasure.
Oh, the same here, Michael. I really appreciate it. Going Home is the perfect song, right? We're going to do it. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michael Linkton from Soul Appeal. Please make it a point to go to michaellinkton.com and find out more about this amazing artist, and make sure you pick up this CD, because I'm telling you, it's going to become one of your favorites. And here's a 5.5-minute reason why on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
some kind of song, huh? I thought it would be interesting to play that song called Baptism after Wade in the Water. There's always got to be a little method to the madness going on here at Hybrid Jazz. You know what I mean? Band Barrage right there. Isn't that amazing, that song? Oh, I love it. Baptism Composed is what it's called. Ronnie Barrage and Chanel Johns, the vocalist on that track. Ronnie stopped in not that long ago on Hybrid Jazz and just talking about his amazing career, and the timing couldn't have been better because he wanted everybody to know that the band will be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz in a couple of days on the, what, today is the 27th, right? I have to look at the calendar. What is the date today? I don't even know. It's the 20, what? Oh, somebody tell me. Band Barrage is going to be there Thursday in 2 days. I just looked at the BB&J events page, and there they're going to be. Whew. Look, the days are running into one another, honestly, and it's just going to get more bizarre from here on out, so bear with me. It'll be fun, though. I promise you an exciting ride. Could be a little bumpy sometimes as we make our way at the end of the year to Florida. In the meantime, things to do, and there might be a little chaos around the house as we get prepared in the months to come, but it'll be a lot of fun. Band Barrage and Baptism from the CD called Heal, and you can certainly find them on Facebook, and you can find them via their website as well. Go check them out. Ronnie does things very differently. He prides himself on being creative, and I think that you'll find that there is something for everybody on that CD. We heard Ramsey Lewis, Wade on the Water from 1966. On the drums, Maurice White, who's, this is such good news, between seeing Steve Perry on stage in Minnesota over the weekend and knowing that Maurice White appears to have put his Parkinson's disease in some sort of control is making me so happy. Maurice seems to be in really good health. He has been overseeing Earth, Wind, and Fire for a long time because he's got most of the executive control. Such a smart man. And now he is taking the helm again with the new Earth, Wind, and Fire CD. More about that in the days to come. Very excited. Maurice playing drums on the Ramsey Lewis track from the 60s. It's Ramsey Lewis's birthday today, 79 years old. Got a lot of dates if you go to his website, and guess who he's touring with on some of those dates? Philip Bailey. Just told you about Earth, Wind, and Fire. Isn't it funny? Oh, I love it. Happy birthday, Ramsey. Thank you for all the music through the years. Woo! Man, has there ever been. And we heard, too, Michael Linkton. Beautiful song, Going Home, from Soul Appeal. And it's just so awesome that our buddy Ray Parker Jr. is on the CD, Lenny Castro, Kenny Lattimore, Ryan Shaw, Yolanda and Matt just joined us in the chat room. Get ready for that Ryan Shaw track because those vocals are killing. And as a matter of fact, Michael was talking about Sam Cooke, and he spent a lot of time with Steve Perry, who came to the recording sessions when they were doing Soul Appeal. Steve Perry said that Sam Cooke was his favorite singer. Ryan Shaw said the same thing when we met him a few years ago. Lori Lewis and I will never forget that because we were so impressed. So you talk about somebody who has taken the gauntlet and run, it's Ryan Shaw. Wow. Too much. Let's play some more music, shall we? Let's do it. I did not get to a third track the other day when Mike Pope was here with us, so let it be known that here is the third track from the very cool Cold Truth, Warm Heart CD. This is called Dear Life on Hybrid Jazz.
Dear Life.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
With rest.
Just so dadgum delicious, isn't she? We're using these old expressions in the chat room. Dadgummit. Oh, my gosh. That Diane Reeves is the cat's meow, ain't she? Man, that's good. From 2005 or thereabouts, from the soundtrack of Good Night and Good Luck, a movie that was all about the wonderful journalist Edward R. Murrow, who we used to watch when I was a little girl. I remember him interviewing Khrushchev and Marilyn Monroe among others. He was amazing. And apparently, of course, as a little girl, you don't know these things, but Murrow went after one of the worst politicians that ever lived, Joe McCarthy, who was much like most of the Republicans in office in Congress now. But we didn't call them Tea Party folks back then. Joe McCarthy was on a witch hunt to destroy people because he perceived of them as communists. It didn't matter that they were or not. It didn't matter anyway. But his perception led to, honestly, many deaths and suicides and ruined careers. And Murrow went after him. And I admire George Clooney because he was one of the masterminds to put this movie together. Just so courageous, so worthy of respect. He just doesn't give a flying, you know what. He will do what he wants to do. He will say what he wants to say. And if you're in the way, you better get out of the way. I love Clooney, and congratulations to he and his beautiful fiance. Best wishes to her. Congratulations to him on their engagement. That's great. Diane Reeves, Solitude. The song has been done a myriad of times, but when she utters the phraseology that only Diane Reeves has, it's just bliss. She's got a bunch of dates. I wanted you to know this because it's just so exciting to see. She's got the new CD out. She will be doing quite a number of those events with Romero Lubambo. Woo! Love to say his name. Who, by the way, will be part of the Strathmore Jazz Samba Project next week. You might want to check out strathmore.org and go to dianereeves.com to find out where she's going to be close to you. Bet there's going to be one place or another. She's going to end the year at the Avery Fisher Hall on New Year's Eve with the New York Philharmonic. How exciting is that? Oh, I sure wish her cousin George Duke could be experiencing this renewed energy in her career. I know she thinks about him all the time. I know he's watching over her, that's for sure. Diane Reeves, Solitude from Good Night and Good Luck, which is one of the most fabulous jazz-oriented soundtracks you could possibly imagine. Great band. Sonny Rollins, I'll String Along With You. We heard from 1987. Dancing in the Dark is the name of the album that you want to peruse. Clifton Anderson on trombone, Mark Soskin on piano, Jerome Harris on electric bass and rhythm guitar, and Marvin Smitty Smith on drums. Sonny, I've noticed, not doing a whole lot with the website, but when I've checked out Twitter recently and Facebook, I think it's Sonny who's overseeing both. So that just made me joyful because I was a little worried for a while that we hadn't heard anything, but I do believe it's Sonny interjecting his opinions and posting videos on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to check that out, it's really very enjoyable. We heard, too, from Mike Pope, and Mike was just with us last week. He's got a couple of CD release parties on the 4th at Blues Alley, on the 6th of June at Andy Music. And the track that you heard from Cold Truth and Warm Heart is Dear Life, which was composed and arranged by Joe Locke, one of the best that we have in jazz on vibraphone. Oh, that was good. MikePopeJazz.com has more information. Boston folks, he's going to be with you on the 10th of June, so look forward to that. We've got time for a few more songs, and I'm so glad that Matt and Yolanda have joined us in the chat room. Beach has been with us throughout this whole scenario. Actually, Beach has been with us from the very beginning, 2011. Can't express enough love for my friend BJ White for being there. We had Griselda, but Griselda had to work. So she listens to Hybrid Jazz in the archives. Many do. And that's the cool thing. As long as we're on Blog Talk Radio, that is the scenario. You listen to it live if you can, and if not, you can listen in the archives almost immediately after the show ends at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And speaking of times and such, I put a message out in the past 24 hours to David Bach, Andrew New, and Daryl F. Walker. And they are all going to be on next Tuesday's show, which is great, because we're going to focus on June the 8th, which is the CD release party for David Bach. Andrew New is going to be with him. It's going to be for the benefit of the Towson, Maryland High School Music Department. And then on the 15th, of course, East Bay Soul is at Ram's Head in Annapolis. And I wanted to get Daryl before this huge array of dates puts him in a situation where he's too exhausted to have any interviews. So we're going to have all of them this next Tuesday. Didn't think Mama Bear was going to be able to do any interviews because I was supposed to go with T to Florida, but I'm going to send him on the train so he can spend some time with Dad, and we'll go in July. Maybe just me. I'll leave T home this time. All right. I wanted to play a track from Butch and Rhonda Coleman's CD, Night Sketches, a song that has some meaning for a few people who listen to the show. It's one of those rare tracks where Rhonda doesn't sing. She just plays her heart out on that keyboard. And Butch, of course, playing bass, amazing talent. And we'll get to that after the track is played. This song is called Malibu from Night Sketches on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
is Hybrid Jazz.
In more ways than one, and I refuse.
because there is not a song that I could possibly dream of to follow that, we're going to have to end the show with that song. Oh, gosh. Do you remember, if you think about some of these kinds of things, if you have not heard Nancy Wilson do that song before, you know that Major Harris did it the first time around and made it a big hit. But when a woman sings that song, woo, it is a different kind of thing altogether. And you can just tell she put a little something in there, like she had experienced not being able to wait. Man, that's so nice. From 1994, Nancy Wilson, Love Nancy is the name of the CD. I'm so tickled. I'm not sure what happened to make this a change, but for quite a while, you couldn't get a hold of the website. Now I see that there is a way to get to Miss Nancy Wilson. I know that her longtime manager had pretty much overseen much of what she had done. He passed away, and then all of a sudden, we noticed that there was some hacking into her website, and she made mention of that, I believe, on her Facebook page. So let it be said that there are many of us who are trying to talk to the Kennedy Center folks. Jason Moran, are you listening? To see if we can get Nancy, while she is walking among us, into the Kennedy Center honors scenario this year. I don't know when they have to meet their deadline, what criteria are involved, but if you contact the Kennedy Center, there is a way for that to be happening on Facebook too, matter of fact. And I'll make mention of that in the next day or so. But if you Google the various kinds of endeavors for people to make sure that Nancy Wilson is not overlooked, you're going to find at least three or four of them, no joke, because that's how many people want to make sure she's recognized. Amazing talent, and she has waited long enough. I think if we ask Bill Cosby, he could help this endeavor too. We heard Les Sabler. Wasn't that wonderful? Gracious. The name of that song, I'm going to try, and I can't stand the people who say, oh, let me see if I can pronounce this properly, because I don't want to mispronounce it. It's just a nod to Brazil, so you're going to hear some Brazilian music, and what you heard was Brigas Nunca Mais Discussio, which basically translates into Fights No More. I don't know. I just played the music. Les Sabler on guitar and bass, Clay Perry on keyboards, Celso Alberti on drums and percussion, and on one of the last recording sessions that Joe Lala ever had on percussion. Beautiful stuff. Whew, a Jobim song. And the album is called Jobim Tribute. Les Sabler out of Tampa, Florida, originally from Montreal, but he made his way to Florida. So you know that I'm going to make my way to see Les Sabler when he gets to play in one of the many places in and around Tampa, or Tampa Bay, or Clearwater. Just moseying on back from Sarasota, Punta Gorda to Tampa. That's how I envision all of this unfolding. So hopefully it can all come to pass. I would play a Les Sabler track every week if I could. I'm holding back because it's that good, the CD. As is Butch and Rhonda Coleman, and I brought the, I wanted to make sure I brought this paper down with me, and where did I put it? You know, I just have so many things that I'm trying to do, and I just can't get it together. ButchandRhondaColeman.com has the information, and I have the paper somewhere so you can know all of the wonderful talent that is on the CD. I know I have some of these folks mesmerized. Yeah, I wish. Dennis Chambers is on the CD, and a bunch of Baltimore, Washington, top-of-the-line instrumentalists. You know, it's going to be a little weird when T and I make the move away from Baltimore, D.C., because it's just not going to be the same to focus on the talent that is here when we'll be in the Southwest Florida region. We want to make sure that we focus on talent there. But we certainly have made it a point to discuss various artists around here, haven't we? We have. So it's been my pleasure to do that. And we will continue to do that for the time that we are still here, just so you know. Malibu was the name of the song that we heard from Butch and Rhonda. Night Sketches is the name of their CD. They're going to be in a couple of different pivotal locations in our region. ButchandRhondaColeman.com has all of that information. And I stand corrected because Rhonda does scat in that song. Yeah, she's good at that. She's good at so much. Oh, my God. I love those two. With my breath, I do. And you're going to hear more tracks from Night Sketches in the days and weeks to come. Now, here's what's happening. And shall we play the music? Let's play the music again. Here's what's happening for Thursday. We were originally supposed to have Alison Krockett and Carla Chisholm. Alison Krockett has a whole bunch of goofy stuff happening, but it's good because she's getting really busy, and she's a mom. And we're going to have to see if maybe she can do this next Thursday. Now, why are we so focused on Alison Krockett? It's because she has a special show that she's going to do at Blues Alley. This is a big one. It happens to be on Father's Day, the same day that East Bay Soul is going to be at Ram's Head. So, yeah. Everybody is touring. Everybody is doing these musical events. Carla Chisholm just played Blues Alley, and now she's going to have an event at Germano's in Little Italy in Baltimore. So that's why we wanted to make sure that we got to Carla Chisholm. Now, she may or may not tell you some news on Thursday that she sort of told me or hinted at. I'm going to let her tell you on the show. So, Carla Chisholm will be with us on Thursday and then again next week. Didn't think that we were going to be able to have any shows, but there's going to be three guests next Tuesday. And we'll worry about next Thursday when that comes. Listen, thank you so much for joining us today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yeah, a couple of minutes to spare. That's real good. Thank you, Beach and Yolanda and Matt, for chiming in, our guests that have floated back and forth who wish to remain anonymous. And they know who they are, and I do too. We'll see you on Thursday, God willing, right here at the same place. And I should tell you that next Tuesday, we'll start the show at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and end at 5, so we can make sure that Andrew and David get to have their hour together. Is that cool? And then Daryl F. Walker will be here in the second hour of next Tuesday's show. We'll go over this. You don't have to take notes. Have a wonderful evening or morning, whatever the case it is, where you are or when you are listening. And thanks again for your support. 107,835 listens later. Yes. God love you. From me and Hybrid Jazz.